Fought with Your Prayer by Ian Bounds. Chapter 19. Deliberation Necessary to Largest Results from Prayer. This perpetual hurry of business and company ruins me in soul, if not in body. More solitude in early hours. I suspect I have been allotting habitually too little time to religious exercises, as private devotion and religious meditation, scripture reading, etc. Hence, I am lean and cold and hard. I had better allot 2 hours or an hour and a half daily. I have been keeping too late hours, and hence have had but a hurried half hour in a morning to myself. Surely, the experience of all good men confirms the proposition that without a due measure of private devotions, the soul will grow lean. But all may be done through prayer, almighty prayer. I am ready to say, and why not? For that it is almighty is only through the gracious ordination of the God of love and truth. Oh then, pray, pray, pray. William Wilberforce. Our devotions are not measured by the clock, but time is of their essence. The ability to wait and stay and prosper prolongs essentially in our intercourse with God. Hurry, everywhere and seeming and damaging, is so to an alarming extent in the great business of communion with God. Short devotions are the pain of deep piety. Calmness, grasp, strength are never the companions of hurry. Short devotions deplete spiritual vigor, arrest spiritual progress, sap spiritual foundations, plight the root and bloom of spiritual life. They are the prolific source of backsliding, the sure indication of superficial piety. They deceive, blot, rot the seed, and impoverish the soul. It is true that Bible prayers in word and print are short, but the praying men of the Bible were with God through many a sweet and holy wrestling hour. They won by few words, but long waiting. The prayers Moses records may be short, but Moses prayed to God with fasting and mighty cryings 40 days and nights. The statement of Elijah's praying may be condensed to a few brief paragraphs, but doubtless Elijah, who when praying he prayed, spent many hours of fierce struggle and lofty intercourse with God before he could, with assured boldness, say to Ahab, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." The verbal brief of Paul, prayers is short, but Paul prayed night and day exceedingly. The Lord's Prayer is a divine epitome for infant lips, but the man, Christ Jesus, prayed many and all night ere his work was done, and his all night long-sustained devotions gave to his work its finish and perfection, and to his character the fullness and glory of his its divinity. Spiritual work is taxing work, and men are loath to do it. Praying to praying costs an outlay of serious attention and of time, which flesh and blood did not relish. Few persons are made of such strong fiber that they will make a costly outlay when surface work will pass as well in the market. We can habituate ourselves to our beggarly praying until it looks well to us. At least it keeps up a decent form and quiet conscience, the deadliest of opiates. We can slight our praying and not realize the pearl till the foundations are gone. Hurried devotions make weak faith, feeble convictions, questionable piety. To belittle with God is to belittle for God. To cut short the praying makes the whole religious character short, shrimp, niggardly, and sovereignly. It takes good time for the full flow of God into the Spirit. Short devotions cut the pipe of God's full flow. It takes time in the secret place to get the real, full revelation of God. Little time and hurry mar the picture. Henry Martin laments that want of private devotional reading and shortness of prayer through incessant sermon making had produced much strainedness between God and his soul. He judged that he had dedicated too much time to public ministration and too little to private communion with God. He was much impressed to set apart times for fasting and to devote times for solemn prayer. Resulting from this, he records, "Was assisted this morning to pray for 2 hours." Said William Wilberforce, the peer of kings, "I must secure more time for private devotions. I have been living far too public for me. The shortcomings of private devotion starve the soul. It grows lean and faint, and I have been keeping too late hours." Of a failure in parliament, he says, "Let me record my grief and shame and awe probably from private devotions having been contracted, and so God let me stumble. More solitude in early hours was his remedy. More time in early hours for prayer would act like magic to revive and invigorate many a decayed spiritual life. More time in early hours for prayer would be manifest in holy living. A holy life would not be so rare or so difficult a thing if our devotions were not so short and hurried. A Christly temper and its sweet and passionless fragrance would not be so alien and hopeless a heritage if our closet stay were lengthened and intensified. We live shabbily because we pray meanly. Plenty of time to feast in our closets will bring moral and fatness in our lives. Our ability to stay with God in our closet measures our ability to stay with God out of the closet. Hasty closet visits are deceptive, defaulting. We are not only deluding by them, but we are losers by them in many ways and in many rich legacies. Tarrying in the closet instructs and wins. We are taught by it, and the greatest victories are often the results of great waiting. Waiting till words and plans are exhausted in silence and patience waiting gains the crown. Jesus Christ asked with an affronted emphasis, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" To pray is the greatest thing we can do, and to do it well, there must be calmness, time, and deliberation. Otherwise, it is degraded into the littlest and meanest of things. True praying has the largest results for good, and poor praying the least. We cannot do too much of real praying. We cannot do too little of the sham. We must learn anew the worth of prayer, enter anew the school of prayer. There is nothing which takes more time to learn. And if we would learn the wondrous art, we must not give fragments here and there. A little talk with Jesus as the tiny saint let's sing, but we must demand and hold the iron grasp of the best hours of the day for God in prayer, or there will be no praying worth the name. This, however, is not a day of prayer. Few men there are who pray. Prayer is defamed by preacher and priest. In these days of hurry and bustle, of electricity and steam, men will not take time to pray. Preachers there are who say prayers as a part of their program or regular or state occasions, but who stir himself up to take hold upon God. Who prays as Jacob prayed, till he is crowned as a prevailing princely intercessor? Who prays as Elijah prayed, till all the locked-up forces of nature were unsealed and the famine-stricken land boomed as the garden of God? Who prayed as Jesus Christ prayed, as out upon the mountain he continued all night in prayer to God? The apostles gave themselves to prayer, the most difficult thing to get men, or even preachers to do. Laymen there are who will give their money, some of them in rich abundancy, but they will not give themselves to prayer, without which their money is but a curse. There are plenty of preachers who will preach and deliver great and eloquent addresses on the need of revival and the spread of the kingdom of God, but not many there are who will do that, without which all preaching and organizing are worse than vain. Pray. It is out of date, almost a lost art. And the greatest benefactor this age could have is a man who will bring the preachers and the church back to prayer. End of chapter 19, having been read by Peter John Parisis.